If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Event as ever.
My God, it's enormous. I mean, everybody knows James Bond. Everyone's seen the films.
It is a little bit like a plague of locusts. It's crazy with the noise that's created by it.
Most of us know James Bond as the dashing British agent 007, but the real James Bond was a man from Philadelphia.
Just how did Ian Fleming's 007 get his name?
I've heard it and used it.
Do you know why we're making this film?
Because you want to know what it's like to be a James Bond.
My name is Bond.
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 James Bond.
Det är mitt liv. Allting som har med James Bond.
You can't be an introvert and be a James Bond. It's impossible.
Imagine being told the same joke every day for a couple decades.
My name is Bond. James Bond.
And he's like, you're right, and I'm Donald Duck. Get on the ground, get on the ground.
His name, in this case, is gonna haunt him.
A name is something that identifies you. All it does is pinpoint where you are. He told me that he would kill me.
Använda den i form av att söka efter min far som är försvunnen.
All units, we have a location on a homicide suspect. Name Bond. James.
If I was a real James Bond, I would never got caught because James Bond killed plenty of people and he's still out there.
See, if he kills somebody, hey, okay, well, that's James Bond. That's the white James Bond. But the black James Bond, oh, he's doomed.
It has been both a blessing and a curse.
He just admitted that he took it, just lifted it, stole it.
There's a lot of James Bonds, right? So I can never get that email address. So my email address is the.other.james.bond. I'm the other one.
Welcome, everybody, to the Really 007 podcast for this look at the award-winning documentary, The Other Fellow. And yes, they beat us to it in the Bond Community Awards, the Golden Bullet Awards. And unfortunately, we lost out. But, you know, ours took about 5 minutes on an iMovie and Matthews took about 10 years, so fair enough.
You guys won a golden bullet for best podcast or something, didn't you?
Yeah, we did best podcast episode for our interview with Charlie Higson.
Can I ask you, say, have you actually received your golden bullet?
We haven't, but to be fair, it was in America, and I'm sure the shipping costs are large.
I've been watching the video, and I have a suspicion that there may actually only be one trophy
because
if you look at it at the start of each one, they like hand the trophy to the winner and then it disappears and then something kind of goes on by on the screen.
Yes,
and then that trophy appears over here, and then Zaritsky won like four of them, but
yeah,
in
yeah.
photo afterwards, he's only holding one award. And so it's a bit of a conspiracy theory, but I think there may be only one, yes, golden bullet out there.
That's the magic of cinema, isn't it? I think you've...
The magic of cinema, yes.
Anyway, this is Matthew Bauer, anyway, the creator, the director, the producer, the visionary behind the other fellow documentary. So welcome, Matthew.
Thank you. Very nice to be here. We're out in the UK on streaming today, so it's fun doing some of this and kind of meeting some of you, some of the fans.
Yeah.
I am. I'm actually in Australia right now.
Oh, yes. You are, right. So you are Australia.
On with Australia and the bloody North Pole Arctic Circle here today.
We'll have to introduce our second guest. And I mean, he'll get this all the time, but unlike some of the people on the documentary, he'll love this. His name is Bond, James Bond. So welcome, James.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Nice to be here with you guys here today. In Nybro, Sweden today, we have in north of Sweden, -45 degrees.
-45.
Yeah, in North Pole, you know, in Jukkasjärvi, the ice hotel are there.
Yeah.
-45 degrees, and it's a lot of snow, and it's so windy. So yeah, it's like Northern Pole or Antarctic. Yeah, it's very cold.
A bit like the beginning of A View to a Kill.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You're in your own museum, I can see there as well. James.
Yes. So yeah, we have not so cold here in Nybro, about -5 degrees. So it's better here in south of Sweden, of course.
Yes. Well, I was actually in Stockholm in the summer and it was lovely. But there was no snow then. I'd love to see the snow in Sweden.
Yeah. You have snow sometimes in UK?
Yes. Yeah. Not as much, unfortunately. We didn't have a white Christmas. But yes, we have our range of weather. We're just not very good at coping with it, unlike Sweden and most of Europe. So,
yeah. But anyway, it's good to have you here, guys. So great.
Yeah. So Matthew, of course, has created this documentary, The Other Fellow. Now, that, of course, is a reference Bond fans will know to the George Lazenby line in On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
This never happened to the other fellow.
Matthew, what was your inspiration? And I suppose you start something and then it snowballs, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, so the film is about real men around the world who are named James Bond and what it's like for them to, you know, live in the shadow of, you know, the other James Bond. And obviously when I had the idea for the film, that line immediately just sung out as the title for the film, because obviously it's Lazenby referring to Connery. You know what I mean? The far more famous James Bond than he is. And so it made sense, you know, to use that line. And so, you know, to me in the film, the other fellow to me is James Bond 007, you know, and we've got all of these real men around the world, and there's this other fellow out there who sort of haunts their lives, I guess. In the case of your guest today, he's the one counterbalance of the film, who's actually the James Bond who absolutely loves the name and the association. Whereas, you know, I mean, you've seen the film now, you know, for most of the others, it's not something they like.
No, that's absolutely right. And it starts, actually, doesn't it, explaining the origins of the name.
When I started to write these books in 1952, I wanted to find a name which wouldn't have any of the romantic overtones like Peregrine Carruthers or whoever it might be. I wanted a really flat, quiet name. And one of my Bibles out here is James Bond's Birds of the West Indies, which is a very famous ornithological book indeed. And I thought, well, now, James Bond, now that's a pretty quiet name. And so I simply stole it and used it.
That's had pros and cons for everybody else. But I guess when he named the character, he did not know how successful it would be.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's got a lot to do with like the longevity of Bond as well. I mean, Fleming, you'll see in the film, we have the kind of original interview with Ian Fleming where he talks about it. And he does talk about it more, but we could only afford to buy so much of that interview. But he goes on to say that at the time, heroes were called things like Peregrine Carruthers or Bulldog Drummond.
Yeah.
And he wanted instead a really flat, quiet name. And when you think about it, I think that actually has more to do with the longevity of James Bond than anything else. I can't imagine if he had have called James Bond Peregrine Carruthers, if it would last. Whereas James Bond is a name which hasn't dated. And so I think in some ways it was kind of fortuitous. And also, though, of course, because he chose this very ordinary name, unfortunately for the thousands of men around the world who also, I'm sure there weren't too many Peregrine Carruthers out there. Yeah. And this film obviously explores the fallout of that.
I mean, I won't spoil it, but it also goes into details about the actual James Bond from the West Indies, who he got the name off, and the sort of reconciliation they had, which I thought was a very, well, it reflected very well both on him and Ian Fleming, I thought.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm okay to go into it a bit. I mean, it's not normally, I think most of us, especially Bond fans, are familiar with the fact that Fleming took the name from the Birds of the West Indies book. And I kind of thought the story ended there. But then when we started looking into it, it turns out actually a lot happened to that original James Bond, to the point where he actually went to Goldeneye to meet Ian Fleming. And basically his wife actually wrote a book about this called How 007 Got His Name. And on the press tour for that book in 1965, she was interviewed by the BBC World Service. And so we eventually found that original interview with her. And even though it was only 5 minutes, she was telling the exact story of all the questions I would have asked and, you know, how they found out about the name and what it was like for them when, you know, they started getting weird phone calls and that kind of thing. It was cut out of the film because we couldn't have a place for it, but something she said she quite liked, because they were getting all these prank phone calls, right? And eventually she started telling people that, you know, when they call asking for James Bond, she'd say, oh, this is Pussy Galore and he's busy now. And so she started having some fun with it. But yeah, so they eventually went to Goldeneye to meet Fleming, and it happened just a few months before he died, and they managed to catch it on film. And we eventually managed to track that film down and kind of piece together their original story. And so I think, kind of in there is a part of like actual real James Bond history that I think most people wouldn't know or have never seen before.
And it's a good connection with you, James, because Ian Fleming has a massive place in your life. And that was very moving. Sort of tell us about how you came to have the name. That was amazing.
Yeah, actually, I wrote a book about my life. You see, there's half Ian Fleming and half my dad, the faces of this.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, just tell us a bit about your background and your dad, yeah?
Yeah, my dad was born in Germany in 1911, outside Nuremberg, and he was serving during World War II for Germany in the Navy from 1939 to 1945. After that, he escaped to Sweden, actually 1945, before end of the World War II, in the beginning of March. So he actually swimming over a Öresund channel between Denmark and Sweden for over 8 hours. And I don't know actually how he can survive, because it was cold outside and it was so much he have struggled with his problem in the cold water. And anyway, he came to a hospital in Helsingborg for 1 week. And he, after that, 1945, he came to this area in Sweden, Nybro. And he actually get married to another girl first, 1945, 31st of December. And before he met my mother, and they was married 1950. So 1957, I was born. And 59, went my father back to his parents in Germany. And after that, we never seen him. He disappeared. And Interpol searched for my dad for 10 years before he was declared dead, 1969. So during this period, when he go to school with other guys, they told after school, we're going to play soccer with my dad. You do that with your dad. We're going to fishing. You do a lot of stuff with your dad. But I didn't have any dad. So sat down the library in Nybro and saw some books from Fleming. And I read about his story. And maybe this is what my dad had. His story experienced during his life, you know, in World War II. So I saw him like a father's figure for me in this character that Fleming were. So yeah, it's a very complicated and long story. And I mean, yeah, it's running for 1911, my dad was born, so 113 years actually. So yeah.
It's done really well in the documentary, Matthew, because you do, well, flashbacks, essentially, reconstructions of James's story.
Yeah. We tried a lot of those things with photos at first, but we kind of realized, especially with his father's story, it kind of let us have a very kind of Fleming-esque World War II sort of sequence. And, you know, a bit of a funny story. I mean, you'll see James has got the James Bond Museum there. So James actually came to England to buy the hovercraft from Die Another Day. And I'm sure he'll show you at some point here. He has the hovercraft from Die Another Day. And I went along to film that. And we were buying it from this old, it's called the Hovercraft Museum here in the UK. And it's an old like British naval station with all the old World War II, you know, stuff around. And I ended up saying to them, hey, we've actually got this other sequence we want to film for this movie. Could I film it here? And so they let us then film at the old Hovercraft Museum. And you'll see there's a scene, for instance, on a train that's a flashback of his dad on the train going back to Germany. That's actually on the hovercraft from Diamonds Are Forever, like the big one that Connery rides on, which is now at the Hovercraft Museum. And we went, we can use that to look like a train. Anyway, a lot of those kind of fit. We didn't tell them we were turning it into a Nazi airbase after the owners of the museum went home. We got all the swastikas out. But anyway, yes. But yeah, that's how things tend to go with Mr. Bond here. Kind of one thing just sort of leads to another.
So tell us, James, when exactly did you decide, right, I'm going to change my name to James Bond?
Around 2006, I think, because 2007, it became like 007, you know, it ended with that. Yeah. So I thought, yeah, why not? Because it happened every 1,000 years, only once. So I just sent a message to the Swedish tax board and asked them if I could add or change name to Bond, James Bond, in that order. So they approved 2007 and gave me information. I had a call from this lady who worked with this, and she told me, you cannot change your name more and this time, otherwise you have to go to another position in Sweden to change name or change, you know, like that. So yeah, it was complicated, and she was very angry. You can change once but not twice. So a funny phone call from her. I should know her, meet her, because I want to know why she was so angry for that. Changed my name.
The Swedes don't really have a lot of time for, you know what I mean, someone changing their name to James Bond. It's not the kind of thing the Swedish find very funny. I think I find it really funny, but in Sweden, they're very different, aren't they, James? Like, they're not into this sort of thing.
No, in not that mood. No, no. It's more like, you know, it is cold winter. You should stay at home. You should not do anything opposite or something that ignore people that be angry about something, you know, change your car, change your house. No, nothing. You can do nothing. Just stay alive and do only ordinary thing, nothing else. You know, that's Swedish people here.
Your life is not ordinary at all, never mind your background and how you were born and all that and your upbringing. But your life now as James Bond, it's changed forever, hasn't it? You are basically living the life of James Bond 007.
Yes, yes. It became like red line in my life with all this reference to 007, Aston Martin, Martinez, Champagne, Fleming, GoldenEye, my house in Kalmar, and mentioned that after Fleming's holes in Jamaica, GoldenEye. So I tried to find possible so much that reminds me of his life and legacy of Fleming and my dad, you know, of course, because he was born in Germany. So my half heart belongs to Germany and the rest of Sweden. And then came also, of course, Fleming in my life. So yeah, it's a mix of everything.
Yeah. And I mean, there is a lot in a name, and in the documentary, you'll see lots of people are fed up with people going up to them, oh, is that your real name? Making fun of them. But you embrace it. You absolutely love it. You're walking around in a tuxedo most of the time, James. You're ordering pizzas with 007 on, and it's what a life it must be.
Yeah. I have, as you can see, different license plates for my cars. Yeah. Fleming. Yeah, Fleming.
Brilliant.
And GB007. Yeah, so I mean, it's so many things that I think it's making me whole like a person also when you do like that. And as you said, the other guys have like a curse to have the name. And I think for my sake, it's coming closer to my dad and Ian Fleming, because we were actually in Sevenhampton on Ian Fleming's grave, Matt and we, to record some of the sequence there, as you saw in the film. So yeah, that was very emotional for me, and it was very nice to see the story and the end of the story for Fleming and his life, actually, with Anne and Casper also, of course.
Fantastic, yeah. And I mean, in terms of the name James Bond, you hear the debates now that we don't have a Bond at the moment. Oh, who will the next James Bond be? And people say, well, he can't be black, he can't be gay. And we've got absolutely all sorts of James Bonds on this, haven't we, Matthew? Which just shows James Bond can be can be anyone, which is brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of wanted to reflect that a bit in the film. We did want to kind of go with this cult, you know, whenever the new Bond's coming out, it's always like, oh, can they be black? Can they be gay? Can it be a woman? Not to give away too many spoilers, but can James Bond be this? And what can James Bond be and what can't James Bond be? And like, frankly, I think it's nonsense flame wars between Guardian readers and Daily Mail readers.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the producers of the Bond films have never said Idris Elba is going to be the next James Bond. Idris Elba has never said he's going to be the next James Bond. But the culture likes to have these arguments about this. And yes, so we wanted to have, you know, black James Bonds, gay James Bonds. And I think especially in the film, it's interesting to see what it's like for those guys, because in some ways they have a greater contrast between them and James Bond. But it also gives them an easier out. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They're kind of able to go like, I'm gay. I'm not like James Bond. I'm gay. I'm not like James Bond. I'm black. The guy who found it the hardest was actually the straight white 40-year-old male in London who you see in the film.
Yeah.
And he changed his name to something else, because you can imagine growing up in London with this name and constantly being like, you know, like, oh, you know, do you sleep with as many women as 007, you know, and all this sort of thing. He couldn't stand it anymore and changed it. So yeah, we wanted a very diverse cast. But what happened was, in the end, we had so many people that kind of hated it. The film was getting very negative and we wanted a counterbalance. And when we discovered James, we actually discovered him because, as I say, James is a slightly controversial figure in Sweden, because what he does goes very against the grain of Swedish culture. And I think James, especially with his upbringing on Fleming and stuff, is a much more kind of sort of internationally minded person than the people who live where he lives there. And I actually got a message from somebody who said, I've heard about your film and I'm really happy that the Swedish James Bond isn't in the movie. And I'd never heard of the Swedish James Bond at this point, and Googled Swedish James Bond and was like, oh my God, who's this guy? And at first, he was what we were trying to avoid having in the film, because we didn't really want lookalikes and that kind of thing. But in James, we found somebody who had actually gone so far to the other side. I mean, I always say a lot of what he does seems a bit kind of crazy at first, you know, and you know replacing his father with James Bond and, you know, buying all of his cars and having this giant museum and everything. But he's actually gone so far with it that it starts to make sense again, you know what I mean? And he says in the film that, you know, when you're James Bond, you get to do all these things that other people don't get a chance to do. And James has led a far more interesting life as James Bond than he would have if he wasn't James Bond, you know, and kind of, I think it's kind of genius personally. Like it's been a really cool kind of life for him, you know, and especially, you know, even just doing this film recently and all the kind of stuff involved with that. Yeah. I think he has been a lot happier as James Bond than Gunnar Schaefer, you know, his previous identity. And on the flip side, our London James Bond, he's been much happier as James Hart than he was as James Bond, you know, so each to their own.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom,
like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Because it is an emotional journey for each James Bond on the other fellow. You get some people who,
yeah,
you start, it's all a bit jokey, but then, no, it does get a bit depressing. And then others,
yeah,
the opposite. And I do think it was so well balanced how you had both sides, you had both emotions. Very funny as well. Lots of funny moments.
Yeah.
But that emotion...
We obviously deliberately picked characters who had some kind of dramatic twist in their story.
You had thousands of people called James Bond who came forward, or hundreds. Yeah,
I probably spoke with something in the low hundreds, you know what I mean? And actually probably Skyped with about 100 or so.
Wow.
But I have a lot of, obviously, James Bond Facebook friends and that kind of thing. If you look at our social media or whatever, there's often a lot of James Bonds commenting who aren't in the film. Yeah, but obviously I spoke with a lot of guys who were great, but there wasn't that extra thing in their story. And at the start of the film, they all kind of just seem like ordinary men named James Bond. And of course, by the end, a lot of them are on the run from the police or from stalkers or what have you. And a lot of them, not to give away spoilers, but a lot of them are actually connected in ways you don't realize at the start of the film. You only saw this yesterday. I'm not trying to extract a good review out of you, but what did you think when you saw it for the first time?
Oh, I'll be honest, because it came out, of course, was it October time or was it before? It was before.
It came out of the cinemas in May.
So it's a long, long time ago. And I know that a few Bond fans, there was a premiere in New York, was that right?
Yeah, we had one in New York and one in London, yeah.
Yeah. And that was the one with David Zaritsky, was it?
Yeah, he did the kind of New York thing for us, yeah.
Yeah, and I just looked at it and I thought, I couldn't understand quite the concepts of it. Until you see it, there's no real way of sort of getting into it. As in, people called James Bond, well, that's just their name. Until you actually see the stories and see the people, only then will you get it. So since I've seen it, I've just been telling everybody, please watch this. You've got to watch it. It's absolutely brilliant. No, it is. It's magnificent.
Yeah. And
the fact that it took a life of its own, it's taken 10 years, makes it even better because the stories develop. People's lives drastically change within that time. I'm thinking particularly of James Bond Jr. in America.
Yeah.
Another incredible story. Amazing.
Yeah, no, he was cool. I mean, for me, it was about, you know, I'm a Bond fan, but also a documentary and cinema fan. And I kind of saw it. And it is often hard to get it across, but for me, it's almost this slightly like science fiction existence. These guys are living in it, kind of in real people, literally living within the kind of digital noise of this James Bond phenomena that we kind of always talk about. And I mean, that's what I always kind of found interesting. And it's like, I don't know if you know what I mean, but these characters and the world in the film, it's this kind of weird space that these guys live in that we explore.
No, it's absolutely fantastic, Matthew. And in fact, I was going to go to some of the reviews. Obviously, you won that award, but you've won other awards, haven't you?
Aside from the Golden Bullet we've been long listed for like the British Independent Film Awards. I don't want to say the Golden Bullets aren't serious. They are in the Bond community. But yes, we've won some cinema awards and film that sort of thing, yeah.
And one of them I saw that you were at festival with Mark Kermode, who we love. That must have been great meeting him.
That was amazing, yeah. It's called the Shetland Screenplay Festival.
Yeah,
Shetland Islands. And yeah, Mark had seen the film and gave it a reasonably good review on his sort of podcast. And then he curates that festival and then he invited us to come up there and screen the film. And it played really well. And yeah, his support for the film has been like kind of incredible. I've been a fan of his for many years, and it was the most surreal experience in a very long time, just listening. You know, when you've been listening to him for years, there's something he's reviewed film. It was cool. It was cool. I just wanted to give James and you guys all this to have a good look around, because I know he's going to have a lot of cars and hovercrafts to show you. So
let's have a look, James. This could take hours and hours, but let's just have a brief tour.
We're going to do a 10-minute tour.
Yeah.
We can go for a little tour here. Yeah. But yes, you can scratch on the surface, because it's so much stuff around here. It's impossible to see everything. But I can show you a little. Here is the room with the autograph and some clothes from the ladies. Of course, a lot of
Bollinger.
Bollinger. So when people come in, could they buy a Bollinger there? Or all these after they could?
Yes, of course. Yeah, we can have a shaken, not stirred, dry martini.
Brilliant.
Bar.
Yeah. And here you can have like an interactive room that people can play some Nintendo, GoldenEye 64. Then we have Xbox here. I think it's very important to get all the family, kids and women and women, and older people, you know, and young people, and everybody should do something here. And like we with the GoldenEye, of course, and GameCube. You have GameCube also.
Nightfire.
Yeah, exactly. So many recognize themselves when they come here. And here you can also play blackjack.
Oh, wow. Brilliant. So do you know how to play all these games?
Yeah. And of course.
The casino games.
Yeah, yes, of course.
Well, you're James Bond, aren't you?
It's like a casino when you the Bond meet the girl and the bad guy in the beginning of the movies, you know.
Yeah.
And here you also can do the same. And you can also teach people to play like roulette. And kids and everybody, you know, so they can try by themselves and they don't lose any money.
Yeah,
that's the best of all. Here you have also television everywhere in the room that explains a little of the story behind this. Here you have a couple from Brussels visit me last year, and yeah, they took a plane from Brussels to Kalmar airport, and then we rent a limousine and we took them here to the museum and then back again. So I mean, it's always like you can do like that also when you come to Sweden.
Yeah.
From Copenhagen or to land in from Stockholm and so on.
Natalia's amazing bikini. Wow.
Yeah, this is Isabella. La Perla was the name of the manufacturer. The one that she wears in the film.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, so we have this on people to see, of course. And I have that in London also when we were on ITV there, if you remember, Matt.
Yeah, you were on this morning, weren't you? I saw that.
Yes.
Yes. James Bond was one of Phil and Holly's final guests. In a clip that is aged like milk, as they say.
Put a picture.
We finally were on the show, and now every time we post it, we get some very interesting comments.
But anyway.
You weren't, the difference here was that you weren't actually born with the name James Bond. You decided to change your name.
You've taken it to extremes.
Yeah. I mean, 2007, I changed the name legally in Sweden. Find something that reminds me of the figure and the name and the character of Fleming. Yeah, and that belongs to this Cold War also.
And this is very much a lifestyle for you, isn't it? This is the way you live your life. I mean, you visited lots of locations. You've worked with lots of Bond brands. Also, you've got the cars, the museum. Just explain that for us.
Yeah, I mean, I started to collect 1965 after Goldfinger with Sean Connery. And it's still going on because it's also like a red line in my life to find so much about my dad and like that. So meanwhile, I tried also find information about what happened to Fleming in his life and too much to collect things from the different Bond movies. And I've been this for nearly 60 years now to collect. So Aston Martin, Gondola from Venice, Hovercraft, whatever it is, books from Fleming, everything that's running for 20 years now in a small town, Nybro, in Sweden, actually.
Amazing.
Well, you brought in your Nybro sort of brochure here of all the various bits and pieces that you've got.
Yeah.
And you brought a couple in. What did you bring here? What's the ensemble?
Yeah, here we have Isabella Scruppa's bikini from GoldenEye, 1995, that she gave away for a charity in Sweden, so I bought in Stockholm for 10 years now. And that also help people, you know, struggling with problems. And meanwhile, I can tell my story for people who have missing their fathers or mothers or that disappear around them when they grew up. when you don't have any father or mother when you grow up. It's hard to understand the life. Mm-hmm. How should you struggle this thing with all that belongs to this?
So I know the museum like the back of my hand. I spent about 2 weeks here. So I think we want to get to the big hangar with all of the big things. Right. But I also know the Wi-Fi starts to drop out. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, just to mention a little library actually from Ian Fleming here also.
Yeah.
So people can take some books and read them from the beginning here.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, here is Fleming.
This is vast.
And now we go for a tour.
So I think we just lose. So beyond this door is the Moonraker gondola, the Aston Martin, the plane from GoldenEye, the hovercraft from Die Another Day. However, it's also where the Wi-Fi... Oh, there we go. We've got a bit of it. This is where the Wi-Fi drops out.
Yeah. Well, you can see that's from Fure Eyes Only. The
Fure Eyes Only. Well Lotus. Done. The Fure Eyes Only Lotus. And then the GoldenEye Cessna is behind it. And I think you can just see the Aston Martin on the left.
Oh, yeah. And is that the one from... Is it the Dine of the Day or the Casino Royale one? I can't quite.
I think it's the Dine of the Day. Yeah, I mean, what's funny with James doesn't quite come through in the film, but James actually loves Dine of the Day because obviously it's set in a very similar place to him.
Yeah.
So he does have a specific thing for Dine of the Day, and if you're a Dine of the Day fan, he's got the like the snowmobiles from Dine of the Day and the cars from that.
Here we go.
The gondola. We have the tuk-tuk from Octopussy. There's the gondola.
Long tail boat from Thailand, Bangkok.
Oh, really? From the man
with the golden gun.
This is the actual one that was taken back to Sweden 1977 again. So this is crazy. Yeah.
And this little plane here, what can you tell us about that?
A Cessna plane, they have similar, not the same as they have a License to Kill and GoldenEye, but
the one which flies.
Yeah. So this is one of the, actually I found one here in Sweden that one old guy should sell it because he was retired. And I bought it. This is 1969. And this is engine is Rolls Royce, actually. And now we go for a motorcycle and we have also like a snowmobile.
Oh, Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yes, that's right.
This.
And snowmobile is from Die Another Day.
Oh, well, yeah, we were just saying with Matthew that we love Dine of the Day because it is fantastical. Yeah. And
Pierce Brosnan is James's favorite James Bond.
Oh, right, so brilliant.
Real Brosnan era thing going on.
That's interesting because usually the fans of Brosnan are sort of, I don't know, our age or younger. So that's really refreshing. It's fantastic.
This is the scuba from License to Kill.
Oh, my word.
I bought it in London. Matthew, you can tell about when you took they came with actually.
I've become the London shipping station for the James. So James buys stuff on eBay and sends it to my house. So I had the tapes from License to Kill in my house for a year.
That's our favorite one. So this is amazing.
And now we came to the hovercraft.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, here we go. Dine of the Day. Look at that.
Yes.
That's a fantastic scene, that. That's an amazing in the pre-title sequence.
It's worth observing as well. Some of the things in the museum are just, the same model cars in the film. But this is the actual hovercraft here.
Oh, look at that. That's so good.
I like how you put the Die Another Day standee in the hovercraft.
I mean, how you get these things to the Swedish countryside is beyond me. But this is amazing. Oh,
And you have all the diamonds, the suitcase.
Oh, really? Oh,
This is Samsonite.
When he's in disguise. That's brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, this was the Diamonds of Forever when Peter Franks go to from France to England, UK, with one of the hood from the engine of the Princess Margaret, I think it was.
Oh, the hovercraft.
Yeah.
Yeah, hovercraft. Exactly.
So here also like Warwick Jacobs, he was there. He worked with this and he had this in his position.
He ran this
hovercraft museum.
I'm so sorry, but we are running out of time. This is awful.
We have a Goldfinger-style ticking clock countdown about
us. Yeah, yeah. I'm not Casey.
But you actually got through the whole museum tour. I didn't think you would, yeah. But that's quite an express tour.
That's very good. And there's so many things in the background that with you know you can just about see it. So we saw the Spectre, the skull outfit. We saw that. We saw lots of the Bond women outfits. This is a poster as well.
Yes, the old posters from all the Bond movies from the beginning.
Oh, these are wonderful. I've got to say,
yeah, they are very good.
Before we go, thank you so much for joining us. And the main thing to say, Matthew, is that The Other Fellow is now on ITVX, so it's free for everyone.
Yeah. Well, I'd say anyone in the UK now, internationally, in the US, you can watch it on Amazon Prime. But otherwise, if you go to theotherfellow.com, all the kind of links are there. But yes, from today, it's out in the UK. And I will give James a plug if anyone ever wants to visit the James Bond Museum. It is in Nibro, Sweden, which is about your best thing is to fly to Copenhagen and get a 90-minute train. If you're a Bond fan, it's a stunning. I mean, you're only seeing the kind of large things here. You'll see every shelf has 1,000 things on it. And if you are a Bond fan, it's quite special. And I think, James, you started having people showing up who've seen the film now, right? Didn't you have one recently?
Yes, we have actually from Australia.
Amazing.
Yeah, he was here in Stockholm and he visited in the summer. Saw that last year when we recorded the premiere in off the New Zealand, you came to Australia. And he has seen that and he had his visit here to Nibro actually and he was amazing. He liked that. He said, otherwise, he shouldn't come. So, yeah. It was cool to see him.
Goodness me. So in terms of the museum, when did you first have the idea for that?
Actually, I started to collect when I was 8 years old, 1965. I bought a small Aston Martin. You know, everybody bought the Aston Martin DB5 with jet to seat and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it slowly, you know, I thought maybe in the future I should have something to buy more stuff like that. And I think when I saw GoldenEye 1995, I should travel around the world to see a different, you know, Bond museum, different exhibition or like that. But I was very surprised. I didn't find anyone.
Nope.
They have on War Museum, Imperial Museum, they have a small exhibition. And on stores in London, they have exhibition for that kind of film. So I thought I could start by myself. So I started, I think, 2002, I started actually a small exhibition in a guest house or a restaurant in south of Kalmar. And after that, I took the tier to Nibro. And after that, 2002, it became true.
So anyone can rock up, knock on your door, and then ring the doorbell, and you'd be giving them a private showing of your museum. That'd be amazing.
Yes, it is. It's a dream come true, actually, for me. And I don't think every day, I think when I am here in the museum, I think, what is going on? How could I do this? I don't know, actually, by myself. Just it's running and, you know, you have a celebration of 60 years, celebration of 50 years, 40 years, 30 years from the Bond movies. It never stops. It's going on and on and on with different things that they release from Eon or, you know, Corgi or a guitar that I bought recently. It never stops. It's crazy.
And it's your gift to the world, isn't it? To Bond fans.
Yeah, in a way. And hopefully in the end of this, I get more information about my relatives in Germany or where they are now. We don't know actually, but maybe they see something about this film and recognize themselves when I heard about the story back in time about what people disappear or something like that. And maybe, we know this guy or we have a relationship with this guy in Nibro. So hopefully we get something in the end of this.
Yeah. I mean, like I said before, that was a very moving part of the documentary and I can only commend you. Matthew, I was looking on Rotten Tomatoes and 93%, I think it's on at the moment, which is only below 5 Bond films. So you're in good company there.
we are in good company. So someone in a review the other day said we were the best Bond film since Skyfall, which I...
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
I won't comment on those things. Yeah, we were at 100% until the bloody Guardian came along. But anyway, yes, we're at 93% of Rotten Tomatoes, which I can't complain. Yes, it's pretty cool to have that. And, you know, I was amazed because I was like, This film, it really is a film about men named James Bond, just to be clear. There's no secret, but there is a bit of a secret behind the film, but it is a film about men named James Bond. And, you know, I was like, this could be rejected wholesale. I mean, you would think there should be some people who go, I think this is the stupidest movie ever made. Why would I ever want to watch this? But the reviews started coming in and people kind of got it and really liked it, which was cool. And I think, you know, a lot of it is funny with all the different characters. Everyone has their favorites and not favorites. Do you know what I mean? There are some, particularly the Americans, love the Swedish James Bond. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, he's the emotional heart of the film. But then there are some people who are like, why are we spending all this time in Sweden with a man who changed his name to James Bond? And you know, people have, you know, you'll see there's the gay American James
Bond. Oh yeah, he's brilliant.
Does the ad for the casino. And some people love him. They think he's hilarious. Yeah. And some people are like, oh God, this guy is so negative. When's he going to shut up?
I felt a bit sorry for him at that part when he had to keep saying the same line over and over again with different states. And because it's become a curse, hasn't it? The name, the catchphrase, really.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad for him. But I mean, what I've learned through this film is that it's kind of about your attitude to adversity.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Like some of them in the film, you'll see there's the Texas family in the film.
Yeah.
They have such a wonderful attitude about the name. It's almost this celebration within their family that they're the Bond family. And they have such a good attitude about it. And they're so at peace with it. Whereas, you know, the New York James Bond, who hates it so much and spends his life just complaining about it all the time, you know, hasn't found peace with it, you know? And I think there is a lesson in that, that often the problem is actually your attitude to the problem in your head and not the problem itself, if that makes sense.
That does. That encapsulates it very much so. You are the most positive James Bond there is. That probably includes the actors there. Thank you very much for taking us an amazing tour.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much, guys. And nice to talk to you.
Yeah, you're right. He's the happiest James Bond in the world.
More happy than the last one. Yeah.
See you guys.
Right. Take care, guys, and we'll see you soon. And we'll
hope very much. Bye. You meet soon. Thanks a lot, mate. Bye.
You can hear loads of our other episodes on iTunes, Spotify, and our YouTube channel, where we have interviews, special episodes, and reviews of all the Bond films. Simply search Really 007 Pod, and you should find loads of weird and wonderful content.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.